Welcome to Perspectives. I'm Regan McCarthy. Tom Flanagan is on vacation. Today we're talking about the changing landscape of Gaines Street and the All Saints area. We're joined in the studio by Shabri Bryant, Director of Planning for the City of Tallahassee, Lindsay Stevens, Planner in Residence at Florida State University, and Joe Berg, President of the All Saints District Community Association. And remember, if you want to join the conversation, you can too by calling 414-1234. Or if you're outside the Tallahassee area, give us a call at 1-800-926-8809. You can also email us at perspectives@wfsu.org or find us on Twitter. We're at WFSU Perspective. So, I've said your names and your official titles, but I thought it might be nice to sort of go around the table and let everybody introduce themselves and give us an idea of sort of how you're part of this conversation, what you do. Joe, I thought we'd start with you. Maybe you can tell us about your association and sort of your role in this discussion.
Sure. The All Saints Association was started a couple of years ago to talk with the city in advancement of things, putting some finials on stop signs and such. And last year, a lot of your listeners might remember that there was a large disagreement about a public lot that was used for sort of ad hoc parking that was being sold to a developer for a hotel. And that sort of brought up a lot of questions about balance and process. So we organized 45 local businesses and got 1,800 petition signatures. And then a large group of us went to City Hall and we had a discussion with the city about making sure that parking is factored in and how should things move forward and making sure that in the development plan there's a room for balance and to make sure that we're not displacing the valuable local culture while we're trying to build culture as well. And that discussion's ongoing.
Mm-hmm. And Lindsay, what about you? You're an urban planner. What is an urban planner?
That is a really great question. I'm a planning practitioner. I work in the Department of Urban and Regional Planning at FSU. And as a professional planner on the faculty, what I do is I work with our students, our other faculty, on applied real-world planning projects in communities across Florida. We do work here in Tallahassee. We love to work in our hometown and work in our community. But what is an urban planner? That's a great question. We really train students to go out and be real catalysts for change in whatever context that they're working. We have folks that work internationally, all across the United States, in a variety of contexts. We have folks that specialize in community development, community redevelopment, transportation, infrastructure, again, international development, housing and community development, design work. I'm sure I'm missing specializations, but we're such a multifaceted discipline that it really is hard to describe with just one bullet point what an urban planner is. Mm-hmm. We have a diverse training and skill set where we can help connect citizens with the communities that they live in.
Mm-hmm. So I guess my understanding of an urban planner is you are the people who, as you said, sort of hear from citizens, see a vision for a community, and then talk with government officials about how can we all work together to sort of build happy, sustainable, healthy community that everyone wants to live in.
Right. We really see ourselves as a glue profession. We help connect really technical professions like architects and engineers and make that really technical information accessible to members of the community, whether it's citizens, citizen activists, whether we're working as an urban planner in a local government context, as a government official. We're really that glue that helps pull all of these technical aspects together with the community making and the community building.
Mm-hmm. And Shabri, tell me about you. You're the planning director for the city. What does that mean? What do you do?
Well, we're actually city and county, so it's a joint department because the growth issues are so intertwined with the city and the county. But building off of what Lindsay just said, in the planning department, She mentioned the role of visioning and working with the stakeholders. Before Gaines Street was actually constructed, it was a vision, and prior to that vision, there was coordination with there was stakeholder groups, the Gaines Street Vitalization Committee. So the planning department had worked with those going back in the 90s and 2000, early 2000s, to develop that vision, which was the guide for what Gaines Street actually ended up becoming. So that is where that's where the local government started as far as its involvement. But now the planning department has an urban design studio. We have a landscape architect and architect on staff. And when the new development's coming in, we work with people to make certain that they know what's expected as far as the design, because Gaines Street is standing out because of the way it's built. It's the walkability, the way the buildings address the street, the way they create that urban form, which is really starting to give that sense of identity for the street and for the city.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I thought was interesting when I was sort of planning this panel is that another group that I think has a really important voice in what we're talking about today, the CRA, is mm-hmm. actually meeting as we
right
speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to talk a little bit about their role, too, because I think they play a mm-hmm. big, important role in the development in our community and especially in the Gaines Street area. Sheree, can you tell our listeners who maybe don't know what the CRA is? I think it's the Community Redevelopment Agency. What is that? What does it do?
That's something that is created in certain areas of the city, and their goal is to help. They use what's called tax increment financing, which is as values grow, that extra value is reinvested within the same area. And it's used to help the, in many cases, the businesses who come in that maybe, for example, we wanted to add public parking into some of the private development. It's used to augment that. For existing buildings, there's a facade program where they may have matching grants to update their facade. You see some of that happening on South Monroe Street and in Midtown. You've seen some of those things happening. Mm-hmm. So the CRA is that body that is it's there to help both with some of the public projects, but also to cross over to help some of those some private projects to some extent.
Mm-hmm. And we have two CRA zones in Tallahassee, right? So there's one sort of in the Gaines Street, mm-hmm. All Saints area, and then there's one in the Frenchtown area.
There's the Frenchtown south side, and then there's the downtown one.
Okay.
And actually, Gaines Street is the dividing line. So on the north side, it's in the downtown CRA, and on the south side, it's in the Frenchtown south side CRA.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. And who's in charge of, deciding how that money gets used? Is that, does the city say to the CRA, these are projects we want you to help support? Or how does that relationship work?
Well, first they have a board, which is built of elected officials from the city and the county, and that is guiding authority for the CRA. Then they also have, and have recently been in the process of their capital planning, where they look at priorities. They have a lot of neighborhood outreach. They have a citizens advisory group for each of those, for the Frenchtown Southside and as well as for the downtown. And so that makes recommendations to the board itself. So there's several different mechanisms. So you have that citizens advisory level, but then you also have the capital improvements planning, which helps guide going forward. Each year they look at their programs and the allocation. So that's, there's structure to it. One, so people and entities know what programs to apply for, and also to help guide and ensure the sustainability over time.
Mm-hmm. And then you were talking about like facade projects and mm-hmm. different projects that the CRA puts up. I feel like I'm really focused on the CRA right now, but I think it's an important issue to understand for this larger discussion.
Sure.
But so an example, I think, of something that the CRA maybe has helped support recently is what we're seeing happening at the Doubletree. Is that stuff that's being, they're doing a lot of like facade changes.
Yes.
Like you said, we see some sort of rustic appearance now outside,
well,
and some leaves on the pillars.
A lot of that was it was a fairly large project taken on behalf of the owner of that property. The CRA was coming in. There's some enhancements to the sidewalk, some outdoor seating, more of those public side of those aspects that are going to be on the public side of that private redevelopment. If so, in the area where you're going to have some pavilions, the seating, you know, the more enhanced sidewalks, that's where you're seeing the CRA expenditures. Mm-hmm. You would see them once that takes place.
Okay. Let's circle back to sort of what you were starting to talk about when you were talking about your role as the director of planning. You were talking about sort of taking a vision, and you were talking about this vision of walkability and the vision for the Gaines Street area. I'd like to talk about that and to kind of talk about where did that start and what is the goal there?
Where did it start? Well, we've had, and even before I came to the planning department 15 years ago, there were goals in that were already incorporated into the comprehensive plan. It was adopted. The comp plan itself was adopted in 1990, talking about this 18-hour downtown, having walkable activity centers. So it's been a value for the city and the county for some time. You've seen it happen, starting to happen in Midtown. Market District as well, trying to work towards those values, certain different places. So it's pretty ingrained in our guiding documents for the past 25 years. So there's also a market demand in the past 5 to 10 years for that type of development. You're seeing you don't have to necessarily go to the gym every day, but you can get a good 2 hours of walking in just by going to school, going to work, going someplace for lunch, things like that. So there's a lot of different things pushing for that, pushing us in that direction in certain places.
Mm-hmm. Joe, I wanted to turn to you. I know that you mentioned before a little bit of I don't know how to phrase it, but a little bit of a disagreement maybe that your organization had with the city, specifically relating to the building of a hotel on a lot in the Gaines Street area. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what you talked about that time is that you felt like the Gaines Street, the All Saints area, was really great, and that we didn't want to change it too far from what it was, and that what we were looking at might be taking us sort of away from our sense of place in that space. Mm-hmm. It looks like we're about to head into a break in just a few moments here. But as soon as we come back, I'd love to hear from you, your vision on what Gaines Street should look like. Welcome back to Perspectives. I'm Regan McCarthy, sitting in for Tom Flanagan. We're talking about development in Tallahassee, and especially in the Gaines Street area. Our guests in the studio are Cherie Bryant, the Director of Planning for Tallahassee, Lindsay Stevens, she's the Planner in Residence at Florida State University, and Joe Berg, he's the President of the All Saints Community Association. We, of course, would love to have you join our conversation, and you can do so by calling 414-1234, or if you're outside the Tallahassee area, give us a call at 1-800-926-8809. Before the break, Joe, we were just sort of talking about how there might be a difference in the vision that maybe you at the All Saints Association have for where you'd like to see that district go, mm-hmm. compared with maybe where you think the city's heading.
Sure. There's a sort of a macro picture, I think, about first we have to decide what we're talking about. So you see there's been a lot of conversation about culture and about attracting the creative class, which is sort of the millennials that move to a place because they like the place and then they find a job. And there have been these delegations that have gone to Boulder or studies to Austin and Portland, which are all very great tools. But our question, I guess, would be, are we making Tallahassee enough like Tallahassee? So here you have All Saints, which has the highest concentration of locally owned businesses, artists and studios, festivals, and outdoor artwork of any district from Gainesville to Panama City and probably up to Atlanta and down to Gainesville. So we already really are that cultural mecca of North Florida. And the process has to be balanced. I guess it's something of a pendulum. So I think we learned that in the fall with the parking lot debate was how do we install mechanisms or how do we advocate with the city to make sure that there's not too much gas or that the horses aren't running away with the carriage and that we aren't creating gentrification or displacing a cultural center like All Saints. And We are right in the middle of the storm and the debate. Right now, all of the lots that are on the east side of Railroad Avenue, that's where All Saints Cafe is and Bread and Roses Kitchen and all of those, they're owned by one family trust. They're up for sale for a couple million dollars. And that's basically the development is hopping the street. It's come from College Town all the way over. But if you walk down College Town, I counted that there are probably 25 to 40 vacant retail locations on the ground floors that the city requires to be built. But they've never been inhabited. And so there's mechanisms that I even was just talking about this last night at the city commission meeting that, you know, maybe we need a regular, more regular process for evaluating how we're doing and making sure that we're not being too cheap of a date for developers and demanding more, or if there are mechanisms for things like, you know, guarantee controls for leases. The College Town was very expensive. The prices have come down. And this is probably eventual build out for the Arena District. But if that is what continues into All Saints proper, all those businesses that define All Saints will be displaced, and there will be no way for the businesses to come back in. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it, I think, is having an open conversation and sort of everyone educating each other across the table about what's going on. And the rents, you know, can go from $29 to $49 a square foot. That can be stifling to an entrepreneurial class, retail startups. And in that case, are we accelerating growth too much where the only folks who come in are chains? Are we displacing the really defining local coffee shop for a chain coffee shop because it has national billboards and can afford that space? And how do we prevent that from happening? How do we keep All Saints – how do we keep Tallahassee like Tallahassee?
Yeah, I think you bring up a lot of interesting points there. One place that maybe I'd like to start is, you know, I hear a lot of people saying, boy, wouldn't it be great if Tallahassee could be the next Austin? What can we do to make that happen, you know? And Lindsay, I'm wondering, from your perspective, is that something that Tallahassee can do or would want to do? Should we be copying cities like Austin?
How about Tallahassee be the next Tallahassee, right? Certainly we can look for inspiration. We can help identify peers, aspirational places. But we really need to figure out what is Tallahassee? What makes us unique? What from our history makes us a special place? It is a special place. I think we all know that inherently. All Saints community absolutely has special characteristics, and why would we want to homogenize what we are? So part of it is really identifying what is Tallahassee. Austin's fantastic. I mean, hey, they've got great food, but we do too. So it's really, I think, more about you can get people out of Tallahassee, get them inspired with what's going on in other places, but we absolutely don't want to copy. We can be inspired, but you can use that inspiration, just as an artist does, to springboard you into what is real and true about the place that you're living in. So part of the inspiration process is absolutely visiting other places, seeing how things are done. But then you ultimately come back to Tallahassee and you realize what makes this place special.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned identifying what's special about Tallahassee, and I wonder how that process is done, maybe what the city has done to do that already. I know that when I'm talking with people out in the community, a lot of people have this sense that Tallahassee is maybe struggling with an identity crisis right now. We're reaching out to a lot of different spaces, and we're not really streamlining ourselves in one direction. So we want to be the place where people come to retire. We're doing what we can to attract retirees. Come on down. We don't even have snow here. You know, we want to be the college town. That's what we are. We're a college town. We've got FSU football. We're the place to come, you know, relive your old college days or come have, you know, the best college experience you can. We're also reaching for young professionals and millennials, you know, come young professionals. We've got great job opportunities. And it seems like that's difficult to be all of that at once. Lindsay, you're kind of giving me a face like you think maybe that's not – maybe we can be all of that.
Well, I hear you on that. But what I submit is that we're a very diverse community. It's an obvious statement, I suppose. But think about everything that we've got going on in Tallahassee. We're the state capital. We have really fantastic universities. And quite frankly, All Saints, bringing it back to All Saints, is really the connecting piece between FSU and FAMU. So I think it's really special and unique in that way as well. We do offer a lot of great amenities for retirees. We do have fantastic talent that's getting ready to graduate this weekend in the form of our students. And so, you know, wanting to hold on to some of that talent, that homegrown talent, and retain it here instead of sending them to far-flung places is something we also need to focus on. But we're a diverse community, so we need to identify those characteristics and find a way to build off of that and use it as a strength, because we already are all of these things.
You know, and just adding on to that, when you think about a great city, it's not just one thing. If you want to go to that city and then go back to it and go back to it, it's going to have layers. It's going to have different areas, different things that draw you to it. So I would just have to – I support what Lindsay was saying, too, that you – going back to that, you know, just that creative class – that's – I think experimentation is part of a city becoming something special. You're experimenting and you're trying some things. Those work. Maybe they don't. But that experimentation, the environment in which you can experiment is, I think, key to that making something exciting.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a moment here. It looks like we've got some callers calling in. I want to just remind everybody who's out there listening, if you'd also like to call in and join the conversation, you can do so by calling 414-1234, or if you're outside the Tallahassee area, call us at 1-800-926-8809. Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines. On line one, we've got Jakarta, who's wondering about historic value. Hi, Jakarta. Good morning.
Good morning. I was just wondering if there's any designation, like historic value, for the All Saints area that would kind of eliminate the cookie cutter chains from coming in, that would preserve the area as it is, pretty much, as opposed to making it look like, you know, other cities.
Okay, great question, Jakarta. Thank you. Is that something you know about, Sheree? Do we have some kind of historic designations in that area?
Well, there are mechanisms for historic designations. The interesting thing about All Saints is it's pretty new. I mean, there are definitely some – it's a historic neighborhood. It has a meaning in Tallahassee, and there are some historic structures there. But so much of the vibrancy that's grown up over the past few years has been redevelopment. So if you look at a lot of those buildings, they're less than 15 years old, and a lot of the people living in them have not been there for a very long time. I know when we were talking earlier, Joe mentioned talking about the parking lot. One of the things that I brought up was when I started this, we were trying so hard to get people to move into the downtown area to have that type of urban redevelopment. So this is trying to figure out how to deal with parking because there are so many people coming in for events is a really good problem to have.
Right.
So.
Well, and one thing Jakarta talked about, though, is it sounds like she's looking for a way to maybe avoid what she called a cookie cutter look in that area. So one of the things that we love about Gaines Street that you identified as great about Gaines Street is that it's so unique. It has so many local businesses. And Jakarta and Joe, I think, are expressing a concern that we might just see a continuation of what we're seeing in College Town, just come into that, you know, All Saints area and maybe cover up some of that uniqueness. Is there a way to avoid that or to preserve that uniqueness while, you know, developing in a way that's good for our city?
I think the ongoing conversation with the neighborhood is probably the best way to do that. There are certain design standards in place, and working through those, that's an important tool. It's not an end-all, be-all, but it's an important tool. I think just continuing that conversation as things come in that Joe had talked about. I mean, there's got to be a balance. It's because the balance between the public and private sector, if you start to dictate too much, then you do almost create cookie cutter. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And the aesthetics are a very important part of the, I guess, the attitude of an area. But ours is less with that. I think that the community's feedback into the guidelines that are in place are upheld. A lot of the buildings down there are also not – there are historic building designations that can help. You have the Coca-Cola plant,
correct.
The cigar
there
factory
are definitely
and such.
Some historic buildings.
Someone started mentioning the other day that Collegetown was gentrified, and I had to point out that no one was displaced because it was warehouses. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the development so far inside of All Saints has been – that what were abandoned houses that were collapsing or shacks, for lack of a better word. So our concern is more about gentrification and whether or not the market is adjusting way too fast for the businesses. And if that's the case, then are the businesses really the priority? And this kind of sort of ties back into what Lindsay was saying. My feeling is that there's it's the definition of culture. So Tallahassee is chomping at the bit to get folks to come to town for culture. And we have a ton of it with the Opperman Hall and the Open Days and now Cascades Park. A lot of what shows there are culture from other places that you can experience in Tallahassee, perhaps not anywhere else in the region. Differently, though, is organic culture, what grows here. And that's the separation that I make. Local small businesses, I will point out, bring three times as much money per dollar back into the local economy. It's recirculated. And they're incubators for local culture. It's the local businesses that are hiring local artists and local talent and local musicians. And that means someone gets their start in music because they can afford to take a night off work and go jam, or they can get paid to – their paintings can be up in a cafe. You don't see that as much with chains because they're identified by a universal experience. So – in there is the balance. And I think there's top-down efforts that a municipality and a community can take, but ultimately you can't neglect or imbalance the bottom-up growth of what's happening. And I'm fond of saying that All Saints is the flower that grows in Tallahassee, and it cannot grow anywhere else. So once the habitat for that is disturbed and it becomes endangered or dies, you can't remanufacture it. And then what is your identity even more? What does draw cultural tourism to cultural adventurers who aren't coming for a show but for a weekend exploring quirky, odd things?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. We've got another caller on the line, so we'll keep going with our callers here. Mila wants to talk about the uniqueness in Tallahassee. Mila, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Great. Welcome to Perspectives.
I'm right here. And I'm so delighted to hear you all talking about really looking at Tallahassee for what Tallahassee is, instead of trying to become Austin or Boulder, which are the cities they are because they looked at who they were and what they were. One of the things that I feel has been really seriously overlooked in the planning for this sort of new vibrancy of downtown is the fact that Tallahassee has these remarkable in-town neighborhoods where people can literally walk to work from a lot of them and come home to green trees and a place where you can walk the dog and raise your children. I live in Woodland Drives, which is in the Myers Park area. Indian Head Acres is near me. Lafayette Park is another one of these things. These are the treasures that, if they are protected and developed, are going to be diamonds in 20 years. Already I'm watching this neighborhood turn over and see young people and babies moving in here. And I think the city commission really has a sense that a lot of this is rental area, and it's not. These are homeowners and they're vibrant communities. And the business of developing the flower that blooms here, this neighborhood has worked very hard to try to begin to develop Lafayette Street and to turn it into a sort of small place. The 1020 Art Gallery is up there. Cabo's is there. And we worked really, really hard. And then the Planning Commission allowed a three-story building is going in there that will have storage facilities in it, mm-hmm. which is going to shift Do you have maybe a question for our experts about?
I hear what you're saying about the development that you're seeing in our communities, and it sounds like you're you know loving the community that you're living in. But is there a question that you're wondering about where this is going forward?
I'm wondering if anybody is thinking about the in-town neighborhoods as one of the things that needs to be protected, cared for, and developed, and the edges of it developed toward the kinds of cultural places that you're talking about.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for your question. Cherie, is that maybe something that you can talk about is, you know, in the grander plan of development here in Tallahassee, what are the thoughts for some of those neighborhoods that Mila mentioned?
Well, I live in one of the in-town neighborhoods in Levy Park. Since I started right about with the planning department and looked to move a couple of times, made me a bigger place, but then realized I loved the walkability and I loved having everything nearby and so stayed. So, yes, I mean, from a personal standpoint, absolutely. And from yes, we are looking at that. And a lot of those neighborhoods have some strong zoning that protects them. Where you're probably seeing the friction in your interpretation of vibrancy. I think that's where we're going to have to just learn and work through over time because to bring in those new things, to bring in the new investment on those edges. And I think, yeah, definitely protecting the core of those neighborhoods, but there's going to be change on those edges. And then different people have different preferences of what is desirable. On those edges, on some of the bigger roads, you are going to see bigger buildings. And sometimes that's what you just need to have because those in-town neighborhoods are getting higher property values. And so you need a little bit more intense development to make the projects work.
Great.
And it sounds like the music's coming back.
Great. We'll take a quick break and get back to that thought.
Okay.
Welcome back to Perspectives. I'm Regan McCarthy, sitting in for Tom Flanagan. We're talking about development in Tallahassee and particularly in the Gaines Street area. And I wanted to remind listeners out there that if you'd like to join our conversation, you can do so by giving us a call at 414-1234. Or if you're outside the Tallahassee area, call us at 1-800-926-8809. Just before the break there, we were talking a little bit about the walkability of some of our in-town neighborhoods. And I think walkability is an interesting term. I hear it used a lot. I know walkability is something we're striving for in the Gaines Street area. What is walkability? I mean, what does that mean?
Well, it has several key features, and I'm sure that Lindsay's got something to weigh in too, but a lot of it has to do with, one, infrastructure of the public side of things. What are the sidewalks and the roads? How are they built? Do you have a little bit of separation from the cars that are moving so that the person on the sidewalk feels safe? Do you have something to walk to? Do you have the buildings that are close enough that you feel safe walking to them versus having to walk across a 300-foot parking lot? So a lot of it has to do with that mixture of how the public side is built, how the roads are built, and do you actually have the facilities to walk on the nice, safe sidewalk? Do you have something to walk to as far as the development nearby?
Mm-hmm. Lindsay, anything to add to that, or do you think that's a pretty good definition?
I think that's a really solid definition. Oftentimes, people will also talk about the experience of the pedestrian. So that's kind of the interface of the public and private. In Florida, of course, you've got infrastructure concerns about shade in the hot months. And so pedestrian comfort, not only for safety purposes, but also you take the climate factors into consideration, too. But it's a whole package of things. Mm-hmm.
So, Joe, in the sort of scope of the All Saints District, I hear people being frustrated when they talk about walkability there. I know a lot of people have heard that's what the All Saints District is supposed to be. It's supposed mm-hmm. to be this walkable pedestrian area where you can go from place to place. But people I'm hearing frustrated because they say, well, that's great, but how do I get there? You know, mm-hmm. how do I get there to walk around? Are you hearing that same sort of frustration?
That was ours is an artistic district, so you will find an opinion on every extreme of the scale. what we did find in common was that most of the business owners and folks agreed that parking was a mutual concern and that was something that we could achieve. And that has – let me also say with Cherie and the other staff and the city commission have responded, and they responded rapidly to our campaign to say, absolutely, let's fix this. So there's a parking lot now that has been was just sort of there and being used for parking that's now being turned into a parking lot in the middle term, the interim, for a couple of years as the parking lot that we were fighting for is about to be fenced up as the hotel goes up. The city commission pulled back the placemaking plan. I don't know if pull back is adequate word to describe it, but the citywide placemaking plan, I think that was in February. Enough to say let's have someone look at parking and what our master plan is and its continuity so we're not building eight very different districts and recurring, you know, situations that come up later. What this, I think, folds into the multimodal district, and this is definitely Cherie and Lindsay's territory more, but what we found is the city had sort of morphed the plan for Gain Street, which is what created a lot of the friction. We were things that we had asked to be put in that were adopted that the city commission voted on, and over time the battle plan changes. So, you know, the parking that was available in the district was less than what we thought because, as Cherie said, it's turned into a festival district recently. We have 34 festivals this year. We're adding 12, and this is a great problem to have. But in that multimodal plan, it was, you know, half a mile or further away to park and walk in. And, or, you know, we went through the bullet points and said, it's Tallahassee. It's not unlikely that it's going to be drizzly or humid or that there's a major event going like Cascades or the stadium. Or so could we really expect someone from Killarn who wants to visit their favorite craft beer lounge to park in Myers Park and then find a way through Cascades when there's a major event all the way over to, or they're going to bring a bike down on their car, or we're still a driving city, so are we are we moving too far ahead with that concept as well? And the city has responded, and as well as maintaining us a parking lot, denying a sale of a public lot that the city owns for this middle term, and there are other policy things in the works for the parking. So as we follow up with all of those issues, we're also now, I think, porting into general policy before all this development hops Railroad Avenue.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay, what are sort of the long-term solutions that cities can use for questions like that? You know, like Joe's saying, walkable districts are great. People love them. But then there is that question of how, you know, if you want to access this space, how do you get there and how do you balance that need for parking with a desire to have another really great thing?
Certainly the first step is dialogue. I think we recognize that. But one thing that communities can do is also look at opportunities for shared parking. And I'm sure that the folks on the planning staff are doing that. In downtown Tallahassee, we have a lot of structured parking already that serves our fantastic state agencies. Maybe that's an opportunity. Certainly there's opportunities with the universities to explore as well as with private landowners. So I think just thinking creatively, realizing also that having a lot of folks wanting to go to the same place at the same time to attend a festival is a really wonderful problem to have, and really the most vibrant downtowns have a lot of hustle and bustle. So I don't think it's necessarily that we have a shortage of parking. Haven't done a parking study, but just driving around, I think it's pretty clear. I hear you that it's a locational issue potentially, but I think there's probably some creative solutions out there that folks are already exploring and in the longer term hopefully will come to reality because there's great opportunity there.
City staff is been, I think I could say, thoroughly auditing and coming up with mixed use existing parking. Just last night, a first hearing to lift a implied prohibition that surface parking lots were not allowed in the downtown overlay area, meaning if you had a lot, you couldn't just let people park on it. You had to build a structure. So that's an immediate fix in the meantime. Really also, you know, if you look forward like to 5 and 10 years in the big cities and you end up with major parking problems. So I think it's also good to, in cities I've been to or am from, so I think it's also a good thing to plan out now. How do we make sure that everybody has some places to park? Though I don't think anybody would say they're in love with the drivability of Tallahassee and how much it's car dependent to get around. 15 minutes from everywhere is the joke I hear. Mm-hmm. So just a balance. We don't think that everyone should be able to drive right up to the door where they're at, but we should be able to. Our argument was we should be able to stage our independent events as an independent district while there are events happening in nearby districts. So there are already conflicts with an event in downtown or Cascades where folks come in, take the parking in All Saints, and then the people who want to come into All Saints businesses are displaced and possibly just turn around and go back home to their neighborhood instead of finding parking and walking all that way. Because we have an expectation of drive-up, you know, parking lots.
Mm-hmm. It looks like we're getting several more phone calls here, so let's head back to the phones and see what some members of the community have to ask here. We'll go to Ed, who has a redevelopment question for us. Ed, are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
Ed, welcome to Perspectives. What's your question for us?
Well, having lived in Tallahassee for 45 years, I've seen a lot of change here during that time, and much of it to the good. But I do feel concerned about what I see is the planning department's lack of doing something positive to encourage local businesses, because walkability and utilization of the downtown is dependent on Tallahassee looking and being someplace unique and worthy of business, or somebody coming and visiting in businesses that makes it different. So strip malls, fast food restaurants, and those sorts of operations don't make Tallahassee different. And if you look at recent development that has occurred here, even right in the center of town, for example, the Magnolia Corridor between Mahan Drive and Appalachie Parkway, you know, there's five fast food restaurants, three mattress shops. It basically looks like an I-10 interchange. There's nothing there that brings a person to want to walk to it or visit it. And what is the county going to do, the city planning department going to do, to encourage local businesses, places that make Tallahassee unique? All I see in these new developments are chains and strip malls.
Okay. I think you bring up an interesting point there, Ed. Cherie, I think that's something maybe Joe touched on a little bit and that people are concerned about. You know, Joe mentioned that block of buildings that is for sale in the All Saints area going from the Bread and Roses kitchen or their co-op down to the All Saints coffee.
All the way to the corner, all the way to the side.
Okay, all the way to the corner. And that's a big place where we house a lot of our, you know, local businesses that are great in that area. And you know, there's a concern that when that block goes up for sale, those buildings will be replaced with buildings that are really similar to what we're seeing up in the Gaines Street area, kind of, you know, by Jimmy John's. And I know rents there are I've heard, very high, like maybe $3,000 a month. So it might price out some local businesses. How do we sort of balance that and make sure that there's room for those local businesses to be there?
I think what we're going to have to do is look at different strategies, because one, I mean, there's it's an issue that's not just Tallahassee struggles with. You hear it in a lot of big cities when you start seeing redevelopment and people want to be in an area, then there's pressure. I mean, while we're looking at those different strategies, I think the CRA is one way. We have, you know, like I talked about, the facade grant, and then there's other different programs to facilitate businesses getting in that maybe helps them get a little bit of a head start in certain retail spaces. We also have to keep in mind, I mean, there's a balance between public and private sector. And so, I mean, there are certain private property rights that people have that, you know, we can't infringe too much on those. So I think it's going to have to be a balancing act, looking at what programs we can help to incentivize those smaller businesses, working with the groups such as the All Saints Neighborhood. There's not a one-stop solution to it. I think, again, it's going to have to be us looking at the tools we have and perhaps investigating some other tools to do so, and just working through that as the redevelopment occurs. So that's just what we're going to need to – we're going to, again, have to look to experiment a little bit as well. I mentioned that earlier because you're right. The small businesses do add a lot of value. No one, you know, doubts that. And it is a new challenge for Tallahassee to do that. we do have some tools in hand, and I think the fact that we have the partnerships with the neighborhoods in town is something that we're going to have to build off of.
And could I add that the listener, the public has a role in this too, and
yeah.
them shopping locally helps mm-hmm. local businesses.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gain Street Pies started with a $30,000 crowdfund, and now it has mm-hmm. three locations, and it's
right.
you know sort of a pizza empire.
And
yeah, that only happens
point.
When people shop local. So the owners recirculate mm-hmm. the money is the point. If that was a Papa John's and a franchise, say, there's nothing that guarantees the franchisee will reinvest it back to a new yeah. location. They might live somewhere else.
And that point that you made that the revenue that comes into the community, there's a good bit more revenue that comes into the community. I don't think that is a widely known fact.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep working through. We've got lots more callers on the line, and I want to make sure we can get to as many of them as we can here. So let's head to our next caller here. We've got Bill on the line. Bill, welcome yes. to Perspectives.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I grew up in Tallahassee, and I own properties down here, but I left when I was in high school, and I've been coming here you know, every year over the past 30 years. And it seems that Tallahassee, I know it's growing, but it seems that Tallahassee's changing a lot in the fact that it used to be that there was tree-lined streets, single, you know, two-lane roads. I'd come into Thomasville Road, and it was a two-lane road and trees covering it, and now it's a big, wide, concrete path in, and Capitol Circle now is a lot of concrete and you know, big, wide, lots of lights and all that. Seems like it's losing its flavor in a lot of ways. And I understand you have to grow, but it seems that the town itself, it used to be a lot of gravel parking lots, a lot of trees, instead of these big concrete parking lots and cutting all the trees down, building the building. And it's starting to remind me a lot of Orlando. So I was wondering, as far as planning is concerned, with the city, but did you guys take that into consideration as far as maintaining that tree-lined look? The, you know, you could have multiple roads, but as far as trying to not have so much concrete, so many wide avenues and so many medians and all that kind of thing.
Sure. Thanks for your question, Bill. Cherie, I know that the city does focus a lot on trees. We're known as we just got recognized as the Tree City. Is that right?
It's something we've been recognized for many years, and it was done again for this year as well.
Mm-hmm. And I know we've got a lot of rules in place, and that's something that you're thinking about as you and the city make plans, is finding ways to ensure that a lot of that beauty of Tallahassee and that our trees and our green spaces remain intact.
Yes. The multimodal district is one of the ways where we're wanting to focus more growth on the bicycle and pedestrian facilities to get people moving around. The tree-lined streets, I mean, we do have the beautiful oaks. So we're wanting to have more of the streets as redevelopment occurs, to have more of the trees along the frontage of the buildings. And so that is that's something that is in the code. And along some of the state highways, we've had to work on some challenges implementing that because we have some different types of regulations that we have to deal with from the state. But we're gradually working through that because, again, we value those the shade, the protection from the trees. So absolutely, mm-hmm. definitely support that.
Lindsay, I wanted to throw that to you a little bit too. The caller mentioned that he wasn't happy with the changes. And I think that must be a difficult thing for cities when they're developing. You know, people love their hometown. They love it how it is. And it hurts your feelings a little bit maybe to go past that place where, you know, oh, that's where I had my first date over there at that place. And now they've, you know, bulldozed it down. And it's something new. So what's the strategy for sort of making change without getting rid of things people love? I mean, how do you balance that?
That's a really great question. And of course, change is inevitable, right? That's part of life. Change, what, death, taxes, all of that good stuff. You know, specific to the roads, it's a real challenge as communities grow. People come to a community because they love it, and then more people come, and then more people come, and you need to make the roads bigger to handle the capacity. It's a real delicate balance. What communities can do and what Tallahassee and communities across Florida have done is developed comprehensive plans, developing a vision, identifying the special characteristics of that community, and ensuring that policies and regulations move forward and are supportive of that vision ultimately.
All right. Well, it looks like we're out of time today. Thank you all for joining us on Perspectives. Perspectives is produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance is provided by Taylor Cox, with Lydell Rawls on the phones and manning our social media. I'm Regan McCarthy.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.